On this week's episode of Texas Scorecard Radio, we've got all the updates on the Bonin Burroughs scandal. We'll also check in on Austin's homelessness debacle and get an update from North Texas about a corruption cover-up. Our guest this week is Tim Young. We talk about the nationwide problem of media elitism. And Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan closes us out with a commentary on perseverance. Welcome, friends, to our episode 100 spectacular here on Texas Scorecard Radio. I'm your host, Tony McDonald, coming to you from the 1836 studios. Yes, it is episode 100 of the program. You know what that means? We're just a mere 4 weeks away from the two-year anniversary of Texas Scorecard Radio. You can find us on the web at www.texasscorecard.com. Obviously, with 100 shows in the books, you can find all of those old archives, interviews, and commentaries that we've done by subscribing to the program. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Spotify if you want to never miss a program. Going to get this week's show started the way I've lately been getting a lot of them started, with Brandon Waltons, Capital Bureau Chief for Texas Scorecard.
Hello.
Every week we have new important developments in this Bonin Burroughs scandal. So let's, you know, for those in Rio Linda who don't know what's going on, let's tell folks what's going on with the Bonin Burroughs scandal, and then let's talk about some of these developments over the past week.
Yeah, well, this has been the story that has really dominated the headlines in Texas politics, at least over the last month or so. This is the situation, if you're not familiar, where Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan was essentially offered a quid pro quo offer from the Texas Speaker of the House, Dennis Bonin, as well as the former now Republican Caucus Chairman Dustin Burroughs, in a closed-door backroom meeting in exchange for targeting of certain Republican officials.
Basically, these guys had said, don't go campaign against Republicans. Don't campaign against any House members. That's bad. And then privately, they said, hey, go do this, and then we'll give you some official act in exchange, subject of what is now publicly known a criminal investigation.
Yes.
Big deal. But there have been lots of developments over the past week. Basically, Bonin, you know, holding out, a lot of times hiding, and letting others do the speaking for him, including now Dustin Burroughs, who had been hiding and not answering questions, going on a little radio tour up in Lubbock, where he's from, spinning a lot of lies.
Yeah, and that was sort of the interesting thing you saw, was that while you had the Speaker of the House, Dennis Bonin, out there basically on the front end sort of attacking, saying, this is a lie, and then evidence, you know, coming out to the contrary. On the other hand, you had Dustin Burroughs, who had pretty much remained silent. I mean, people were wondering if he was even, you know, in the country. I mean, you didn't see anything from him. And probably actually, from a political perspective for him, probably actually maybe one of the better options he could have taken at the time.
Oh, yeah, invoke that right to remain silent, of course.
Exactly. Well, he decides, I guess, that, you know, it's been a few weeks, that's enough time, and goes on a bit of a media tour, doing a few interviews with some TV stations and some radio stations, and is out there. It's pretty clear he's going to toe the Bonin line on this, which is really contrary to the facts.
Yeah, we're going to say, oh, well, this was all about telling Sullivan not to campaign against Republicans, and the facts, you know, as verified by people who've listened to the audio, and not accurate. Reactions to this after Burroughs makes his tour, State Rep. Tan Parker, one of the guys targeted in the meeting, out with a letter saying, hey, you guys need to be more honest.
Yeah, out there saying that the people have had enough of this sort of behavior, especially, you know, ahead of an election. We're talking about some big consequences for Republican politicians if they don't shape up their own house internally here, allowing this sort of corruption to go on in their legislature.
To fester. Right, to fester. Yeah. And then the second action, or maybe reaction to this, you saw a list of, what was it, a little over 30 members come out and demand a in-person caucus meeting. Tell us about those developments.
Well, that was kind of an interesting thing, and a lot of that's very, very inside baseball. It's a little harder to understand, but this is the big points with that. You have the Republican caucus, which is, of course, the group of Republicans that serve in the Texas House. You had, because Dustin Burroughs ended up being essentially forced to resign because of his involvement in this scandal, you had the vice chair of the caucus, Stephanie Click, a state representative, move up to be the chair of the caucus and leaving a vacancy there for vice chair. Now, there's some different ways that they could go about, you know, electing this new vice chair to fill that spot. But you had a coalition of 30 members, and I'm told actually that there's even more than that, that essentially they had a deadline to get this letter out and people were wanting to sign on. So a group of probably more than 30 legislators, Republican legislators, who said, let's not do this by email or electronically, which may be how they might have traditionally actually done this. Let's actually meet in person, kind of raising a lot of questions.
Yeah, have a real meeting where you can do real things to deal with this scandal. And the pushback, Click saying, absolutely not. We're not going to do it. We're not meeting until our retreat in October.
And that was really, really interesting. I mean, when you're looking at, let's just say, roughly half the caucus is asking for this meeting to happen, and you're essentially saying no. It's very clear at this point that the Republican caucus is, at least the leadership of the Republican caucus right now, seems more interested in protecting Speaker Bond and Dustin Burroughs than it is in actually rooting out corruption. The interesting thing to watch going forward is that, on the other hand, you do have a significant portion, how large we don't know yet, of the Republicans in the legislature that are not happy with this decision.
Yeah, not happy with it and are going to want to take action. Mm-hmm. Well, let's keep the seat warm. We'll save you a segment next week. There will be more developments that week, almost undoubtedly.
Yes, there's always more.
Next, let's turn to Jacob Asmussen with the Central Texas Bureau. The city of Austin really quickly devolving into San Francisco.
Tony, that's right. Austin seems to want to follow California in all the wrong ways. Austin City Council recently passed a law that allows homeless people to camp pretty much most places in town, public sidewalks, public areas, except parks. But now, since that, we've quickly seen an explosion of homeless people really causing a lot of problems throughout the city.
Yeah, Austin has had a problem with homeless vagrants on the streets for years and a very laxed enforcement. And lo and behold, this decision by the city council has made things worse. Tell folks who maybe aren't, going through Austin, what you're seeing pop up.
Well, that's right. At overpasses, on the highways, on public sidewalks, on streets right next to businesses, pretty much everywhere across town, you're seeing these tent cities pop up. And it's really causing a public safety issue for folks just walking by or driving by. And it's a real disaster happening very fast.
Yeah, so this is not going over very well with citizens. You're seeing a lot of public backlash to this.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. The community is very upset. You'll see posts all the time on social media, calling out to the mayor, calling out to the city council, saying, hey, this is not okay. And actually recently, the city council, after getting so much backlash, they hosted a homeless town hall that was packed with folks just real upset about this problem, and it looks like city council is actually gonna go back on their recent decision and start restricting some of the camping that they just allowed.
Yeah, I think we've seen there's a bunch of petition signatures out there, thousands of Austinites signing petitions, petitioning for this thing to say, look, we got to do something different. And I guess there is this effort to say, let's put the whole thing back in the box and say, okay, we're not going to just let people sleep on the street anywhere they want.
Right, Tony. And if you take a step back and look at this whole crisis, the whole crisis was caused by the city council in the first place, because for years they have restricted housing from being built in the city, which affordable housing is the very thing that's going to solve a majority of this problem.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you've done great reporting on it. Folks, go to TexasScorecard.com. Check out, there's tons of reporting about it. This is definitely not the last we'll hear about it, though, because there's definitely things changing. Appreciate your reporting on it, Jacob.
Thanks, Tony.
Finally, let's turn and talk to Robert Montoya up in North Texas. Robert, I wanted to follow up on this story from a few weeks ago. A bunch of local governments funding these kind of silly advertising campaigns saying, oh, don't use water, don't use too much water. And we were asking, well, I wonder who's profiting off these contracts. You're getting to the bottom of that, but they're fighting tooth and nail not to let you know what kind of profit they're making.
Yeah, I know it's ridiculous, Tony. So last month we reported how the city of Dallas renewed an agreement with Tarrant Regional Water District for a over $3 million five-year marketing campaign just to tell people, hey, use less water. Well, we tried to get to the bottom of who's benefiting from this and how, so we sent an open records request. And, you know, TRWD responded saying, well, we're going to appeal to the Attorney General.
Yeah, and they're fighting. I mean, they're pulling out the stops to try and say, we don't want to actually hand over these contracts.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it's hilarious. So we got a copy of a letter that a law firm they hired to represent them to argue for the AG. And the letter, the law firm argues, release the response information will put the district at a disadvantage from obtaining competitive bids from consultants.
Yeah. So if the public knows what they're paying, then they're not going to get as good of a deal. And somehow my question, I think maybe they'll get a better deal or maybe no deal at all, which might be the best deal possible.
I know. And what's scary is they don't want to just have Dallas and TRWD doing this. They want to try and bring in the North Texas Municipal Water District, which helps cover Collin County. So they want to expand this boondoggle.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, we found out, thanks to this open records request, we at least know the names of the two companies they're doing business with. It's RO2 Media and Charlie Uniform Tango, two companies I have never heard of before today, and they're both based in Dallas.
Yeah, so we're going to have to be looking into the connections. Why are these two entities that nobody's ever heard of getting these big contracts from the local governments? But in the meantime, they're fighting. I mean, they're pulling out every stop possible to try and say, well, we're not going to answer how much we're paying them.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not going to show us the contracts or the benefits. In fact, one of the companies sent us a copy of the letter they sent to the Attorney General arguing why this should remain secret. And hilariously, they said, you know, the information is, in fact, so sensitive that if we were to share much of the included information with our competitors voluntarily, the sharing itself would likely be unlawful on the very same basis. Like, what, are they making the atom bomb or something?
Well, this is what you get whenever you ask for information. We'll have to keep asking and keep digging. I think there's a lot more before we're through figuring out and getting to the bottom of this one.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to keep looking into this as best as we can.
Thanks for your reporting on it, Robert.
My pleasure.
Texas Scorecard Radio is a project of Empower Texans. At TexasScorecard.com or EmpowerTexans.com, you can find more news and daily updates from all around the Lone Star State. You can also find updates from Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Empower Texans on Instagram. Texas Scorecard's News Digest goes out weekly via email and monthly in print. Subscribe online and find more information at EmpowerTexans.com. Someone's always keeping score. We think it ought to be the taxpayers.
Well, it's great to welcome on the show this week Tim Young, host of No Things Considered. Thanks for coming back on.
That's like, by the way, that's the shortest intro anyone's ever given me. Usually when I force people here in D.C. when I do local stuff to go through all of my things, it takes like a minute to get there.
All right, so Tim Young, who was born, where were you born?
No, it's not. So I'm like a Fox 5 contributor, not quite a columnist for the Washington Times, all sorts of like crazy things now.
But we're going to start though now. So where were you born?
Oh, Baltimore.
Baltimore. Okay. So Tim Young, born in Baltimore. Okay. Well, now, were you raised in Baltimore?
Oh, yeah.
So born and raised in Baltimore. Okay. All right. So anyway, yeah, we could do the whole live story. No, I always do the quick intro because people don't care. I mean, no offense, they don't care, right?
No, I like the sing-along. I like to go through 20 minutes of my entire bio. By the way, you've been doing this for a while now. I mean, this is a landmark episode. Have you ever had a guest on who has given you a ridiculous bio that's made you read, like, their an actual ridiculous bio?
I just always do the quick thing. If folks listen to the show, it's like, hey, this so-and-so, they do this one thing, and then let's talk about what we want to talk about this week. So I never let them get by. Nobody wants to hear the long bio.
They do. Yeah. You just haven't met the right person yet. Because, I do radio myself here at Sirius. I fill in a bunch. And you get these certain individuals on, and I won't name names, but usually they're not as accomplished as other people, like a congressman or something, because congressmen just feel like, just say congressman.
Yeah, yeah.
Certain people will come on, and they want the full three-paragraph bio read, and it's insane. And then I boot it off to the producer, because we're typing, probably like you are right now, typing to your producer going, I hate this guy.
No.
So that's like, it's fine.
All right. Well, so here's the thing. The reason that you're on, okay, other than being a kind of fun guest, reason you're on, expert
kind
on.
Kind of fun.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of fun guests. All right. The guy who knows a lot about the issues, I guess I would say this, who is an expert on media and the differences between new media, old media, the media elitism that we see.
Oh, yeah.
And this is something not just here in Texas we've been experiencing over the last couple of months with this Bonin story, but also just nationwide. And I caught yet a column the other day, and I wanted to talk about this, just how crazy this media elitism has gotten out of hand.
Yeah, it blows my mind, actually. So, fun fact, in the middle of my 15-paragraph intro, I was young member chair of the National Press Club, where I represented all media under 35 for, like, 2 years in the early 10s. So I think, like, 2011 through 2013, something like that. And you get it there. Like, I don't understand where this comes from. Because, you know, 60s, 70s, even the 80s, maybe early 90s, journalists were journalists because they wanted to share a story. Then as they realized they could get famous and sell books, they were journalists so that they could be famous.
Right.
And that's when you kind of eliminate the actual objectivity of journalism. So you have these basically idiots who are just there to be famous, and they act out and they try to make a scene, and they think that they have a level of protection because they themselves believe themselves to be celebrities.
Right. Well, they're part of it's very this club mentality that, oh, we're part of a club. And then it's very arbitrary to say, well, people doing really more interesting, more in-depth investigative work, well, they're not part of the club. So they may be doing something interesting that everybody, if it was done by somebody in the club, would get, you know, a full round of applause, right? But it's by somebody outside of the club, so it's not sanctioned official media activity.
Yeah, well, I mean, the story that, or the piece that I wrote about was the April Ryan thing. And what's April Ryan known for? Nothing. Yelling at the president, just like, she's like the backup to Jim Acosta. She's two rows back from Jim Acosta in the White House press briefing.
Yeah.
And I think her biggest hit so far was yelling, Does this administration still support slavery to Sarah Sanders?
Well, right. And you were talking about this. They're amazing. Literally go into a press conference, say, does the administration still support slavery? They blow the question off because it's ridiculous. And then they go, well, they wouldn't answer the question.
Yeah. I mean, tell me when you beat your wife, or what's the story, or whatever.
When did you stop beating your wife?
Yeah. There you go. And you know, you won't answer a stupid question like that. It doesn't deserve the respect, but then they blow it up and make it a story.
Yeah.
And then she sends number one, she's never been suspended. Her rights have never been taken away from her. She works for Urban Radio News Networks or whatever, April Ryan, who no one's ever heard of and has like zero following on social media, which is a big tell in today's market.
Sure.
So I question the outlet itself, and they have never taken her press credentials away. She has a hard pass to the White House. And yet she has the nerve to write a book and pretend to be a victim of free press. There's an attack on free press. It's like, get out of town.
Yeah, right.
Get out of here.
Well, the what's interesting today, yeah, there's so much out there where they're saying, like, there's this attack on the press because the president's talking about fake news. I actually look at it, I say, we're having a flourishing of press. And not to mention, obviously, I like my show and I like your show, and there's, you know, people doing it, but there's so many new outlets that are out there, and it's this old dinosaur media that's, okay, yeah, that stuff's dying, but, you know, good riddance. And we have real people coming about saying real stories that's happening. It's really great stuff.
Yeah, and over again, the mainstream media, I hate to say mainstream media because it's such like a buzzword nowadays, but like the mainstream media outlets and these national media outlets have been proven to push false stories. So why would someone want to listen to them?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. Yeah, so tell us about this story. So the April Ryan story, I mean, she like has this guy accosted who's like, tell the story for folks who get a real picture of how spoiled some of these people are.
Okay, so there's this reporter, and I forget his name off the top of my head because my life is too busy and I'm ignorant. He goes to cover this terrible like education conference or something in was it New Brunswick, and like he's from like the New Brunswick paper.
Yeah,
like,
and this is the local guy from New Brunswick.
Yeah, and he gets press credentials. And look, these local guys, they actually do legitimate reporting, and they show up and they actually care about things that happen in their community.
Sure.
So I feel bad for him for drawing the short straw and having to cover this conference, whatever it was. Because if April Ryan's your headline speaker, it had to be I couldn't imagine the lower end speakers on that conference.
Right.
So he goes to cover this. He's been recording with his camera in wherever his position is for 2.5 hours already, and he's just basically leaving the camera on. So when she goes on, she signals to her bodyguard, who grabs the guy's camera, steals it, runs into the lobby with it. The guy goes out to get his camera, as anyone would if you wouldn't just grab a hold of the guy who's grabbing your camera there. And when he goes out to get his camera, the guy twists his arm behind his back, puts his other arm around his chin, and drags him out, painfully drags out this reporter, physically removes him. And the magic of this and the follow-up to this, number one, this guy did nothing wrong. He had all the right to be there. This I think it's Charlie Cradiville or something like that was his name. And the magic of all of this is that, of course, she then goes on Brian Stelter's show, Reliable Sources, and which is just laughable, the title of it, and starts complaining that she's some sort of a victim, that she's getting threats from things. She barely addresses the issue. They don't touch the issue of the guy getting dragged out. She goes, oh, yeah, maybe. Stelter asked if her bodyguard overreacted. Why she needs a bodyguard? I mean, I can't even. Most people can't pick her out of a lineup.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, I said lineup when she'd probably call me a racist for saying that. But this is the assumption that she would commit a crime. So she goes on to this show.
Well, it sounds like they did. They roughed up this guy for recording her giving a speech.
And it's amazing. And by the way, the bodyguard, so she goes on Stelter's show. She plays the victim there. But the credible guy charges her bodyguard. He has been officially charged with theft and assault.
Yeah.
So it'll be very, very interesting to see where this goes. He's definitely guilty.
Yeah, maybe they're part of they really should be part of a lineup. I mean, I guess the point of this, though, is, look, we've got these elitists in media there. We've got them here in Texas, all over the place. And, I mean, what's the answer? I mean, go to alternative sources. I mean, I think is the only answer. Go get some real news from real sources of real people who are doing real work.
Yes, and people are. And to be honest with you, most local news, when you take a look at like your local TV news, those guys are actually the hardworking people who report the stories that affect Americans. The national stories you should always be leery of, but like the local guys, and I'm not talking like Texas Tribune. God, I hate most of the people at the Texas Tribune.
Well, yeah, the print. So Texas print media bad. A lot of the local TV stations are okay. It's kind of
honest with you. I take a look at a lot of these reporters for like the Texas Tribune and people that hopefully they're listening to this, and you just look at them and you know everything that comes out of their mouths and their politics. They always look like some sort of a librarian or a cat lady or something. That's like, I don't know how they're finding these staffers who look like cat ladies who don't shave their legs and armpits and I don't know if they're getting them from the women's studies department instead of the journalism department or what now, but you can literally look at them and be like, oh God, you're outraged by everything. I don't want to hear anything.
Well, isn't that they've merged those? That's the journalism department is now like a dual major in women's studies, I think. All right, well, we're running low on time. Before we finish, I've heard you've got a new segment, Take Tim to Work Day. Tell us what this is real quick. It's kind of funny.
So as part of my being a contributor to Fox 5 DC, they greenlit a couple of ideas I had. One of them was Take Tim to Work Day, which is amazing. And I get to go and do basically a late night segment with iconic places in Washington, D.C., or jobs in Washington, D.C. So the first one is with Ben's Chili Bowl, which was a crucial, crucial place, landmark place for the civil rights movement back
That's
in the
right,
60s and stayed around in they make hot dogs and like MLK used to have meetings there. Amazing, amazing stuff in history. And next up, I'm doing the National Confectioners Association, which is basically big sugar lobbyists. So they have the largest collection of candy in probably Washington, D.C. in one room. And so I get to go mess around with that next. And then some distillers and everything you can think of.
Sounds like you're in it for the cuisine. It's a little sugar, a little booze, maybe some chili dogs. Pretty good deal. All right. Tell listeners.
It's pretty good to stuff my face. I don't get paid a lot of money.
Tell listeners, and we're running out of time. Tell them how they connect to you, find your shows, find your columns. Plug it away real quick.
Oh, man. Tim Runs His Mouth on Twitter. NoThingsConsidered.com is the podcast. Washington Times. Not officially yet, but sounding pretty good. Washington Times might be a regular thing soon on their op-ed page.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, appreciate you being on the show, man. You're always great for an update about things going on in D.C. A lot of times it's the same stuff. You know, with the problems we have in Austin are the problems we have in D.C. The problems we have in D.C. are the same problems we have in Austin. All of it requires people to be more engaged, to go out and get real news and hold people accountable. Same answer, whether it's Baltimore or Austin, Texas.
Absolutely.
Hi, this is Kerry Cheshire with Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. Your state lawmaker probably campaigned as a conservative, as someone who would go to Austin to cut spending and limit government. But did he keep that promise? At index.empowertexans.com, you can see how your lawmaker voted on the major issues of the legislative session. Things like property tax relief, the state budget, and regulatory reform. You can also view his score on the Fiscal Responsibility Index and decide if he needs a pat on the back, a wag of the finger, or perhaps a permanent vacation from public service. The Fiscal Responsibility Index is the premier tool for taxpayers to hold their lawmakers accountable. Check us out today at index.empowertexans.com.
You know, good intentions are a good thing, but as Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan touches on in this week's commentary, it takes perseverance to turn good intentions into good results.
With this week's Texas Scorecard Radio commentary, I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan. Recently, my teenage son, I'll call him Flash, asked me to participate in a 5K race with him. I used to run for miles and miles and sprint 5Ks. Today, I'm lucky if I'm aggressively jogging. I know what my son was saying. Hey, Dad, will you drive me to the race so that I can speed past you and then be eating donuts in the truck when you finally finish? So, of course, I agreed. A quarter of the way through, my knee was bugging me. Then the other, gotta keep going. There was a lovely spot where it'd been nice to sit and rest, perhaps read for a bit, but I couldn't stop. Yet there were all these people trudging along too. One fellow had mentioned before the race it was his first time to run. A nearby lady's t-shirt proclaimed she was a cancer survivor. How could I stop? Discouragement, like cancer, spreads. It's a malignancy infecting everything it touches. I was reminded of the words of Paul in Hebrews 12, and I'm quoting here, "And let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us," end quote. The most important word there isn't run. It's perseverance. We're called to persevere, to keep going. That's even more true in the fight for liberty in 2019 than in my recent 5K. It's easy to be discouraged by the faithless and feckless politicians for whom we've spent time, energy, money, and sweat. It's easy to be pained by their unending capacity to capitulate against us. It's okay to slow down, to change up the pace, to even walk a few steps. But it's not okay to give up. It's never acceptable to stop. We must persevere. We must keep going, keep pursuing, never stopping, not now, not ever. The fate of the Republic rests on the perseverance of patriots. As Patrick Henry once proclaimed, "The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It's to the vigilant, the active, the brave." This American experiment in self-governance ends when the people give up. A 5K ends after, well, 5 kilometers. The course of self-governance is never complete. To secure liberty and its blessings, we must keep running, keep fighting, and keep persevering. With this week's Texas Scorecard Radio Commentary, I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan.
Well, that's all I have for this week's show. Thank you all for listening and giving me the opportunity to do this for 100 weeks now. Here's to 100 more. I hope you'll stick around and stay listening. Thanks.
Texas Scorecard Radio is brought to you each week as a public service from the Empower Texans Foundation and in partnership with the Lincoln Institute and this station. You can download podcasts from each program and learn more at empowertexans.com.